The Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make myself complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Bless these words.
Praise God. Thank you, Larry. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for this beautiful morning and this our opportunity to come to your house of worship this morning. We thank you so much for all of our blessings, how you've blessed this church. And we thank you for the veterans who came and shared their service with us this morning. We thank you for veterans everywhere, those who have given their lives, those who have sacrificed so much, and those their families that have also sacrificed as their loved ones have been deployed. Thank you for their service. Thank you this morning, especially for our fathers. And we just pray that they will seek wisdom from you and the raising of their families. As we think of fathers, we think of grandfathers in our occasion. We're mostly all here grandfathers. But we all have a role to play, and it's an important one. And that role, number one, is to lead our families to Christ. And so we just pray that there's an emphasis placed on that more and more every day. We acknowledge that many families are without fathers, and this is hard on the family. So men of the world need to step up and carry the torch for Christ and introduce Christ to the next generation. Thank you for all that you do for us. Pray that your Holy Spirit will own this service, that he'll give me the words to say, and that you will be glorified and made more worthy as we search for your truth and your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
See.
The gospel of Christ was the most important priority to Paul. And in today's passage, which is entitled True Christian Fellowship, he shows how true Christian fellowship is essential for advancing the gospel in our own church and in our communities. Christian fellowship. I was reading a story there this week, preparing for the message, about a church in Dallas, Texas, where one group of people in the church got involved in a dispute with another group of people. The situation got so bad that both groups filed lawsuits against the other to have them removed from the church. This, of course, you know, got the all sorts of attention from the press, who prey upon things like this and like to expose them to the world. So there was a lot of bad press over this. The judge actually refused to hear the case and sent it back to the denomination, which began its own investigation. When it was all said and done, they traced the conflict back to a church supper where one of the church elders had been served a smaller piece of ham than a child seated next to them. True story. Now we laugh, but I would bet that most of us here know of situations like this.
Amen.
In our case, we can remember people leaving the church over the cutting down of a tree out front. You all have been have experienced these types of things. One thing for certain, anytime we allow church conflict to disrupt our fellowship, our gospel witness suffers.
Amen.
Living worthy of the gospel of Christ means not only standing strong against the elements outside the church, but also standing strong together in all occasions. Now, I want to talk just briefly here about the context of this scripture this morning. It's kind of amazing in the book of Philippians and in elsewhere, of course, how verses seem to build upon each other. For example, last week, Brother Trey and his message there, starting in chapter 1, verse 27 through 30, he showed us how important and leading the phrase was in verse 27 when it starts out, whatever happens. Remember, those of you that were here, whatever happens, whatever happens, stand firm in the gospel. Whatever happens, don't be frightened, and so forth and so on. So that one phrase set the tone and the theme throughout the rest of those verses. Our passage today starts with one word, therefore. Therefore, in verse 1. And it offers the same type of significance. Therefore, what Paul is saying is because everything in verses 27 through 30 are true, Paul's joy is made complete because of the encouragement the Philippian believers receive in Christ. In other words, what he's saying is, therefore, you stand firm in one spirit. If you look there in verse 27. Strive together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened. Been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Now, because all of those things are true in those previous verses, the church is conducting themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
That's what happens as a result of those things that are going on. Now, this morning's passage says that Paul's joy is made complete in knowing. And that's a key word, knowing. And then you have these four phrases that start with if. And I think a better way to translate that word is since, or as surely as. So, in other words, Paul's joy is made complete in knowing for sure, with assurance, not in uncertainty, but in assurance, these believers can be encouraged by these four realities. And what they are is, they are united with Christ. Are you encouraged by the fact that you are united with Christ?
Amen.
I mean, come on. They are united with Christ. They're encouraged because they all experience and are comforted by his love. They are encouraged because they possess, all of them who are believers, in the common sharing of the Spirit. And they are also encouraged of one tenderness and compassionate mind. They're all thinking alike. And they're all thinking like Christ.
Amen.
That's the goal. Now I want to talk about these four things this morning. Paul's joy is made complete knowing that they are united in Christ. Now, as a Christian, do you have any encouragement from being united with Christ? Yeah. This means to have the same mind as Christ. It means to see things the way He sees them. It means to respond to things the way Christ responds to them or did. We are encouraged that our sins are forgiven, that we have been made a new creation in Christ, that the old things have passed away and God is making all things new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come.
Amen.
The old is gone, the new is here. The old is gone, and the new. In fact, other places in Scripture, you die. You die to yourself, and you become a new creation.
Amen. Amen.
Do you have any encouragement knowing that Jesus took your sin upon Himself and clothed you in His righteousness instead? In 5:21, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, starting in verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Then listen to this in verse 21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
It brings encouragement, doesn't it, to us, knowing this. Are you encouraged to know that Jesus has promised never to leave or forsake you?
Amen.
Wow. That's what He told him in the Great Commission, right? One of the last verses in the book of Matthew, when he ascends and leaves them, the disciples, there on their own. And He says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Amen.
We're encouraged by that, aren't we?
Yeah.
He's always with us. If He's not with us, we walked away. It's not because He has.
Amen.
Is it any encouragement to you that Jesus prays for you from heaven, interceding for you at the right hand of God the Father? Yeah. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus has died. More than that, He was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is interceding for us. Imagine that. Christ is praying for you.
Amen.
That's encouraging. Is it any encouragement to you that Jesus knows His sheep, and He gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish?
Amen.
And no one can snatch them out of His hand. John 10, verses 27 and 28. Is it any encouragement to you that since you have been united with Him in His death, you will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection?
Amen.
Romans 6:5. Paul says, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His." Okay. Paul is confirming these promises to all of those who are united in Christ. We are to be encouraged. Paul's joy is made complete knowing that they should be encouraged about these things. The second thing we're to be encouraged about is the fact that we are comforted from his love. We are comforted from his love. And Paul often talks in Trinitarian terms. In other words, he talks Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the three entities of the Trinity. For example, in 2 Corinthians 13:14, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You see, you got all three persons there. In Romans 5:5, Paul says, God has poured out his love, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Another situation where you have more than one person involved, the Trinity. As a Christian, do you have any comfort in knowing that God loves you? That he chose you in Christ before the creation of the world? Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4. Paul says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Before the creation of the world.
Amen.
That he sent his only son to die for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to die for you. That he adopted you as his own child and loves you as he loves Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. We've been adopted as his children. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. We're to be encouraged that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also along with him graciously give you all things? As believers, we have comfort in our lives from God's love. We're comforted. Paul's also, his joy is made complete because of the encouragement that comes in the comfort from the common sharing of the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you're indwelled by the Spirit. We all are. Not a little bit of the Spirit. There's no hierarchy where somebody gets more spirit and this guy over here gets less spirit. When you become saved, you're filled up and overflowing with the Spirit, each and every one of us. As Christians, we all share together in the gift of the Holy Spirit. From John chapter 14:17, we learn that it is through the Holy Spirit that God the Father and Jesus the Son come to dwell within us.
Amen.
For he, the Holy Spirit, lives with you and will be in you. It is through the Holy Spirit that we receive guidance and counsel and the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. Let me read that for you in John 14. These are important two verses here. John 14, 26, 27. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Isn't that neat? We're reading God's word and we've got a question. A question comes up. I wonder what that person means there. Who do we call on? Not Ghostbusters. We call on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's what he's there for. That's what he's there for. He is there to counsel us, to show us the way. And finally, "For we were all baptized in one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink." The one spirit to drink. Now finally, Paul's joy is made complete knowing that they are all of one tenderness and compassionate mind. Tenderness and compassion. God loves us with a tender compassion as a father loves his child. You read in Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." We are dust. True Christian fellowship is motivated by God's love for us in Christ.
Amen.
That brings us to verses 3 and 4. A little bit of a shift there. Let me read those for you again. Verses 3 and 4, chapter 2. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of" who?
Others.
Now we need to take that message into the Congress of the United States and to the UN and everybody else that's important in this world and shake them up a little bit and show them these verses.
Amen.
Think about how revolutionary it would be if people would adhere to what Paul's saying here. Now it's interesting how he phrases this. There's a negative part to it. There's a positive part. And then there's kind of a bridge between the two. In other words, do nothing out of selfish ambition. That's the negative side. Don't do this. Don't do nothing out of selfish ambition. And then you have the positive that says, looking to the interest of others. Look to the interest of others. And guess what the bridge is between the two? Humility. In humility, value others above yourselves.
Amen.
Humility. If you have humility, you will rise above rivalry, conceit, vainglory. And you will value others above yourselves. Now, some people will read this, these two verses and they'll think, well, I wonder if Paul says it's okay to stand in front of a truck and be run over by it. Or is it okay if I smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day? Don't care about myself, but care about somebody else. No, it's not what's being said here at all. In humility, we grow out of the spirit of having our own way. Parading on our accomplishments, being prideful. We learn to see the actions of others as coming with the best motives, and yourself coming from the worst.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? Somebody will interact with you and you'll say, I wonder what that guy's angle is. How's he gonna do me in this time? There's been a pattern with this guy. Every time I deal with him, it's in a negative way. Rather than assuming the best in someone. When he interacts, well, I know where he's coming from. He's in a dark place. He just lost his wife. He's under the influence of alcohol. Consider the best from the person. And then think about our worst attitude and attitude. There was a sign on a school bulletin board which read, when I think about criticizing someone, I have decided to always start with myself.
Amen.
I then find that I don't get much farther. If we could learn to concentrate on our own bad points and other people's good points, always say good things about people, our witness would be one of true Christian fellowship.
Amen.
Humility is necessary for the fostering of unity, so that the watching world, now listen to this, so the watching world may realize who Jesus is and why he has come. That's what we need to be doing as Christians.
Amen.
Make Christ look good to others. The point is, we are to regard each other as ones to be served. We are to regard each other as ones to be served. The key is lowliness and brokenness. Christ comes into our life and he frees us from merit and having our own way. Now, what generally happens is we feel entitled.
Amen.
We deserve better than this. We deserve to have much more. Christ breaks us with his perfect example that is also filled with hope and equipping us for service. Following his example. Let me read verse 4 again. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. This describes the mindset of Christ. We are to be people, a people for others. Not self-consumed, not focusing on our own agendas. And in Philippians, in the book of Philippians, Paul uses three people here as examples. He uses Timothy in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, when he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. And then we have the example of Epaphroditus down in chapter 2, verse 25, where Paul says of him, but I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you set to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. And then down to 30, verse 30. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, he risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Epaphroditus. And then, of course, the greatest example of all that he uses for humility is found in next week's passage, chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, or 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now listen to this example. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Was he God? Of course he was. Rather, he made himself nothing, to take the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He was fully man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. In true Christian fellowship, we humbly serve each other as modeled by Christ. Our attitude should be the same as Christ, who, Bible says, did not come to be served, but to serve.
Amen.
And to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for these words. Your words of truth. Thank you that we can count on your Bible as being absolute truth. Thank you for the examples of Christ and Timothy and Epaphroditus and those in Scripture who were men of humility and not prideful. And to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now, and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.